Welcome to episode 2 of the Crowder Century News Network podcast. I'm Chris Franklin.
I'm Chris Smith.
And I'm Megan Murphy.
And this is our episode for the first 2 weeks of October 2016. With the 2016 presidential election drawing close, we've entered into the final stretch of the American political season, marked by the commencement of the with two presidential debates and a vice presidential debate behind us, and one remaining debate before the election on November 8th, we've decided it's appropriate to dedicate this episode to presidential debates. With most of the debates for this election cycle behind us, it's becoming increasingly clear that Americans are upset with the quality of the debates, including everything from the moderators to the bickering between. Americans are becoming increasingly frustrated with the lack of discussion on the issues, traded for name-calling and digging up decades-old dirt on each other. Instead of focusing on the dismal quality of the debates this year, we will be looking at the history of presidential debates in this country, focusing on notable debates and the evolution of the debates as they're related to technological and social advances. To close out the episode, we'll be looking at alternative party options grouped under the umbrella term third parties, with these alternatives to the Republican and Democrat parties becoming more palatable in light of the growing discontent with nominees Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We'll discuss how the third parties break down the barriers and get onto the debate stage if you're so inclined. Before we get into the content of our podcast today, here are some Crowder News headlines.
The Camp Crowder Collection will be presented with a historical package that has been donated by a family member of a Camp Crowder athletic director in the Longwell Museum on October 13th at 11 a.m. Vet Tech students are practicing their skills by offering a community dog wash day. It will be held on October 18th from 3 to 6 p.m. The theater department will be presenting Three Gods Walk Into a Bar on October 20th through the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. nightly, plus a 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday.
Michael Knutson and Brian Kennedy McCallum's art exhibit, Parallel Pedagogy, will be showcased in the Longwell Museum from October 4th to October 28th, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. On the 28th, there will be an artist reception at noon in the Longwell Museum. The International Program is hosting an international market in the Student Center every other Monday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. The McDonald County campus is putting together a holiday cookbook this season. They are looking for submissions of entrees, side dishes, desserts, and drinks. Submissions are needed by October 31st so that the book can go to print for the holiday season. Submit your recipes to johnallred@crowder.edu.
Rough Riders Soccer has received yet another achievement. The National Junior College Athletic Association announced last Thursday the soccer team ranked amongst the top 28 in the country for the first time in program history. In less than a decade under his tenure, head coach Brad Smith accomplished this feat. The Lady Rough Riders conclude scrimmages on Saturday, October 29th at Missouri Southern State University in Joplin, Missouri. They open up the basketball season at Murray State College on November 1st at 5:30 p.m. Winners of 10 of their last 11 games, Crowder Soccer has a record of 12-3 this season, and their final game will be played against East Central College on Tuesday, October 18th at 3 o'clock p.m.
For the remainder of October, the weather will be in the high 60s to low 70s with a chance of rain on the 19th and 20th.
Graduation and transfer fairs will be offered on three of Crowder's campuses. The main campus in Neosho will host theirs October 20th from 10 to 1, the Nevada campus on October 19th from 1 to 4, and the Cassville campus on October 20th from 10 to 1. Here, students can meet with other colleges and universities and learn how to smoothly transfer. Students may also order caps and gowns and sign up for the exit exam.
So presidential debates as they are today are actually a more recent addition to the political process, not appearing in a regular and respected role until the second half of the 20th century. Prior to that, there was no commission on presidential debates to oversee the debates, and there wasn't even a format or rules for conducting of the debates. In fact, the concept of having debates in the first place came from the senatorial race between Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas in the 1858 race. Lincoln basically followed Douglas throughout the state, heckling him from the crowd. Eventually, this led Douglas to bring Lincoln on stage at a speaking engagement and have a 3-hour debate with him on the issues surrounding slavery.
The first notable presidential candidate debate was in 1960 between John Kennedy and Richard Nixon. Radio listeners said that Nixon had won, but TV audiences said that Kennedy had won. which is interesting because Nixon had actually been sick and injured his knee earlier in the day, while Kennedy had had all the time to prepare. And part of the reason that Kennedy won the debate with television viewers because he was made up and he was tanned. He was wearing TV cosmetics. Nixon hadn't shaved. He looked sick, and he had been he was sweaty. So the majority of radio listeners said that Nixon had won based on policy and what the candidates talked about, whereas television viewers said that Kennedy had won, and it's probably partially because he looked better on screen. But in the end, the popular vote ended up being close, within 0.2 percentage points, but Kennedy beat Nixon in the Electoral College by over 100 votes. There weren't actually any debates from 1961 until 1976, because Johnson in 64 and Nixon in 68 both refused to debate. It's also interesting to note that the FEC had an equal time provision in the 1934 Communications Act that required that all candidates must have equal time to debate, even third-party candidates, but that was taken out in 1975. And the very next year, it was Carter and Ford in 1976, in which Ford claimed that there was no Soviet domination in Eastern Europe, which proved fatal to his campaign. And then in 1980, Carter skipped the first debate because there would be a third-party candidate there. So Reagan versus Anderson was the independent candidate, showed up, and they both attacked Carter, which really hurt his numbers in the polls. And the second debate that year, which was Carter versus Reagan, was the most watched debate until 2016 with the first Clinton-Trump debate. Then in 1988, Dukakis versus Bush, what happened there was Dukakis responded to the question, would you support the death penalty if your wife was murdered? And he said no, and then continued with a very politically correct answer. So people thought that was dismissive, and it cost him in the polls. In 2008, the presidential debates received a technological advance when CNN partnered with YouTube to have people submit questions via video to candidates, which gave them a voice on the national political stage. The candidates answered questions from actual people, but it was still moderated by CNN. Since 2008, people have been able to more closely interact with candidates and participate in debates using social media, which allows them to comment on the debate as it's happening live. The presidential debates received a technological advancement when CNN partnered with YouTube to allow people to submit questions via video to candidates, which gave them a voice on the national political stage. Candidates answered questions from actual people, but it was still moderated by CNN. And since 2008, people have been able to more closely interact with candidates and participate in debates using social media, which lets people comment on the debate as it's happening live. People can share their opinions and influence others, like in the case of celebrities who have the ability to influence lots of undecided voters solely based on their star power. Social media also allows for immediate fact-checking, so candidates are called out when they blatantly lie on the debate stage. There's also been, recently, there was a open debate coalition which had an open question forum on their website for the 2016 second debate, where people submitted questions and could vote on other questions to be asked of the candidates by the moderators, and the top 30 they got the most votes to be considered for during the debate. But in reality, the only question they asked that cited the Open Debate Coalition was one with just 13 votes, so they really didn't do what they say they were going to do with the letting the public ask questions. So in the second 2016 presidential debate, The Open Debate Coalition had a poll on their website where people could submit or vote on questions about policy and other matters, and the top 30 that got the most votes would be considered for the moderators to ask the candidates during the debate. But in actuality, the only question they asked out of hundreds of questions with thousands of votes was one question that got 13 votes. So they didn't really follow the protocol they had set up for that. And with the large amount of individuals that are upset with the two main party choices, the third party path seems to be the way that the future of U.S. politics are heading.
According to U.S. Today, 76% of voters wanted a third party to attend the debates, which is hard to achieve because to be able to get in the debates, a third party has to get 15% average in five polls, which Gary Johnson averaged about 8% and Jill Stein about 4%. Gary Johnson is the actual first party candidate in 20 years to make it in all 50 states. Stein was super close, but at 48 states. The major disadvantage that third parties have to do with federal campaign finance laws, rules set by the Commission of Presidential Debate that can dictate who can enter the presidential debates, and a lack of attention from debates. But if a third party can get 5% in the federal election, they can be fully funded the next major election. Voters want a third party to be in the debates. It seems logical for them to be in. However, the commission of the debates is run by Michael D. McCurry, former press secretary for Bill Clinton, and Frank J. Fahrenkopf, former head of the Republican National Committee. This makes getting rules in place that allow for easier entry for third parties much more difficult due to the biased nature of the leadership. In fact, the mission statement states that the Commission on Presidential Debates was established in 1987 to ensure that the debates, as a permanent part of every general election, provide the best possible information to viewers and listeners. With a poll showing that 76% of voters want third party in the debates, shouldn't it be logical for them to actually bring third parties in the debates?
We wanted this episode to be more informative, acting as a primer for those who are interested in the presidential election and debates. We encourage you to learn more about the election process, be informed about the political process in general, and to get involved in electing the people who will ultimately lead the country and make decisions on our behalf. Until next time, this has been another episode of the Crowder Century News Network podcast. Thanks for listening.